Today's topic is plentiful provision. It's good to be provided for, and it's good to be provided for in a plentiful manner. Do we all realize that we have been blessed with everything that's going on in the world to live in our country? We are blessed to be here. There are people in the world who even today do not have all the things we have to enjoy. There are people who may be hungry. There are people who may be homeless that really can't do much for themselves. We have been blessed, haven't we? We really have. We have a lot to be thankful for. And I think we need to never forget that we owe everything to the Lord who does so much for us. We need to be careful that we don't become disgruntled and discouraged and sad because maybe we don't have everything we wish we had. It's so easy to get down, but we don't need to be that way. So I want to focus in this message on God's ability to provide for His people. So think with me, if you will. He who made everything and who owns everything has promised to meet our need. Would you like to remember with me? I'm not the one that originated this, but there's a difference between need and greed. But God has promised to meet our need. He is always able, always. He always has a plentiful supply. And He always loves us with an amazing love. Have you ever heard the song, "I could never outlove the Lord"? How true that is. We can't outlove Him. We can't outdo Him. He has done for us more than we ever could deserve. Do you know what the New Testament tells us? Paul was writing and he said, "But my God," oh, He's my God too. Is He yours? Paul's God is my God. He said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I think Paul knew what he was talking about, don't you? Paul went through some tough times. If you study in your Bible about Paul, you find that he went through some tough times, but he had confidence. He knew without a doubt that God would supply. God would provide for him what he needed. You can go back to the Old Testament, and we can find in one place in the Chronicles that Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, said that since the people began to bring offerings into the house of the Lord, they had enough to eat. And they had left plenty. Why? They had enough to eat, and he had plenty. Why? It went on to say, "For the Lord had blessed His people, and that what was left was that great store." I want to emphasize that to you. I was just sort of paraphrasing that verse of Scripture in 2 Chronicles. But they had all of that because the Lord blessed His people. Now, we, being people, can sit around and be thankful for everything God has done for us. Or we can sit around and mope and be sad and act like the whole world's against us. It's our choice, right? Which one would you want for today? You want to sit around and be gloomy and sad, or you want to be thankful for what God has done for you? Now, you have to think on that. The easiest thing sometimes is that which is not the best thing. But if we can make an effort to thank God habitually, continually thank Him for what He's done for us, even when tough times come that we don't understand, we can still be thankful in our hearts. And I suspect there are people here today that know that as well as I do, maybe even better. God meets the needs of His people. It might not be you get everything you want or when you want it, but you're still here and I'm still here. That's a testimony to God's saving grace and saving power and His protection of us, that we're still able to get out and around in this old world. The book of Psalms talks about God sending a plentiful rain. Somebody might think, "Well, we could use some of it today." Well, that's right. But God knows what He's doing, and He controls it. He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust, and He does it in a plentiful manner many times. The Bible says He satisfies the longing soul. Have you ever longed for anything? You had a desire for something in your life? You might or might not have gotten what you wanted. But when God satisfies the longing soul, He does it in a good way. He says in the Bible, He fills the hungry soul with goodness. You know, the Bible talks about honoring the Lord with our substance. The Bible says, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase." And you know what will happen? Part of what the Bible tells us is that your barns will be filled with plenty. Some of them might say, "Well, I don't have a barn." Well, that's not necessarily the point. It is a point, but I think the principle is this, that God honors when people do what he wants them to do. He blesses. You can talk about having food in your house. You can talk about having food in your barn, whatever it may be. God blesses when people are obedient and faithful. I wonder how many blessings I've missed because maybe I was not obedient enough or faithful enough. And if I can wonder that about myself, I just wonder if there's anybody else out there that might want to wonder the same thing on your behalf. How many blessings have we missed because we failed to do things the way that we should for the Lord? The Bible says that if you work your land, you have plenty of bread. But basically, if you don't, you might have poverty. You work your land. Did you know the Bible has a work ethic in it? The Bible has a work ethic. We're not talking about people that are incapable of doing things. We're talking about the principle of life. The Bible basically says if you don't work, you don't eat. Have y'all ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that before? You read it in the Bible? I didn't make it up. Well, there's value in that. There really is. Well, the Bible says in the book of Luke that if you will give, that God will bless you. That's what it comes down to. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, amen, shall men give to you. And it pretty much says that however you measure things out, that's how they'll come back to you. For with what measure, or the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So again, that's pretty much what it's saying. However we act, that's pretty much how people are going to act back toward us. Do you remember the story? I suspect most of you, if not all of you, do, of what we call the prodigal son in the book of Luke. Do you know that he wasted his inheritance? He wasted his living by living wildly. But he came to himself and he realized that even the servants back home had bread enough and to spare. Can I emphasize that? They had bread enough and to spare, and there he was about to starve to death. There was someone who was providing for him, but he walked away from where he had it good, didn't he? He walked away from where he had it good. He went off into that far country. And a lot of people go off spiritually into a far country, and sometimes they never come back home. Right. And that's a sad thing. But he said to himself, I'm going to go back home. And of course, the story is great, how that the Father welcomed him and there was rejoicing. And of course, that's the way it is with the Father in heaven. When people come to him, there's rejoicing. But don't forget, when we talk about God's provision and him doing it in a plentiful manner, don't forget that he said, back home, they're not starving to death. Back home, there's not only enough bread to go around, but there's even some to spare. And so I want to emphasize in our thinking here today that God can bless you richly and he can bless me richly and he's still able to bless some more. Am I telling the truth? God is able to bless his people. Now let's read from Matthew. This is part of what we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount. Three chapters in the book of Matthew we have for that. We're going to read just part of it in chapter 6, the last part of the chapter, about trusting one master and what he can do for us. So follow with me if you will. Let's read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. And I'll share some thoughts with you as we go along. The Bible says, no man can serve two masters. By the way, it's hard enough to serve one. For no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. Now you may have noticed in your bulletin today something about mammon in a couple of places. Mammon pretty much gets down to material things. Maybe money, maybe material things, but not the things of God necessarily. And so Jesus said very plainly, and Jesus always knew what he was talking about. He was always right. He said to those people listening to him that day, he said, you can't serve two masters. It doesn't work that way. You're going to either hold on to one and love that one and hate the other one, or it's going to be the other way around. Or else you'll hold to one and be loyal and despise the other one. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. May I ask you, have you ever tried? Don't raise your hand, please. But have you ever tried to serve God and the things of the world at the same time. God is good to us. He provides for us. We're able to enjoy many of the things of the world, so to speak. We have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We have shelter over our heads. And we have things that God is blessed with. But if we try to worship the material things of life, it won't work. And we try to serve those things, people are never satisfied. The Bible even says the eyes of man are never satisfied. Is that right? Is that right? People always want a little more. Always want a little more. Okay, so Jesus said what? You can't serve two masters. Whether they all agreed with him or not, he was telling the truth. You can't serve two masters. It's going to be one way or the other. Then in verse 25, he said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, take no thought. Does that mean don't care about life? I don't think so. I think what he meant is don't worry. Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Okay, so the raiment's talking about clothing. What you eat and what you drink is easily understood. And so basically he's saying you cannot serve two masters. So I'm telling you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or what you're going to wear, because there's more to life than worrying about all that. And then we're going to see, of course, how that he takes care of his people. Now, we can be silly, but I don't want to go too far down that road of silliness, but it's so easy in our land of being blessed to say that we don't have anything to eat when the refrigerator's full and the pantry's full. It's just not what you want right now. Am I talking to anybody? Right. And it's so easy to say, I don't have anything to wear. I can tell without even looking hard that somebody heard that. It's so easy. Isn't that true to life? It's so easy. You may not be a sad and negative person, but it's so easy to not think about how good we have it sometimes. And we're all capable of that. You know, that I don't have anything to eat. Might be I don't want those food items. There's something I would like to have better. Or I don't want to wear that. I think I'd look better in this. Or whatever somebody might be thinking. Jesus said, don't let those things consume you. In a sense is what he is saying. That your life is more than food. Your life is more than clothing. That doesn't mean they don't have their place. We understand they do. The things you eat, the things you drink, the things you wear. But he's making the point, you trust me, I'll take care of you. Can anybody testify to that today? I think everybody in here could testify, if you're honest about it, that the only reason you're still here is because God's been good to you. God's been good to you. In that song we just sang today, it says something about, I feel like traveling on, but one of those verses says, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Well, won't it be great when you see the Lord face to face someday? And just maybe you'll have that opportunity among all the millions and millions of believers down through the years of time to say personally, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Won't that be wonderful if you have that opportunity to do that? Oh, Jesus said, I'll take care of you. In verse 26, he said, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Now, pause right there. We understand in the real world of humans, somebody has to plant the seed. Somebody has to go and gather the crop in, put it in the barn. But Jesus said, look at these birds out here flying around in the sky. They don't do all that. So how do they make it? And by the way, they usually make it rather well, don't they? How do they make it? He made his point. He said, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then he said, are you not much better than they? He's saying on one hand, God takes care of the birds in the sky. They're not abandoned. But then he said on the other hand, you are more important than the fowls or the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father will take care of you. Aren't you glad that God takes care of you? He's good to the lost people of the world. But in this case, he used the expression Heavenly Father. And that's a tender thing right there. In verse 27, he said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, do you know what a cubit is? A cubit sometimes is viewed as an average of about 18 inches. A cubit is the length of a man's forearm from the inside of the elbow to the end of the longest finger. You can go measure and you're going to probably come up within a couple inches of that in many cases. Okay? So that's what a cubit can be. But stature, you might think of height. Stature can also refer to age or span of life. And so keep that in mind right here. How do you get taller by inches or feet or cubits or whatever? It's not just by thinking about it. There might be somebody who would think, well, I'd like to be 7 feet tall. Well, just thinking about it doesn't get you there. But what about this? What if you look at it as like the length of life? Can you add even one day to how long you live just by thinking about it? Absolutely not, because that's within the power of God. So Jesus said, which one of you can make this change just by thinking about it? And then in verse 28, he said, why do you take thought for raiment? He already made it pretty plain about the birds in the sky in verse number 25 and verse number 26. And then he says, why are you worried about what you're going to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. In other words, the lilies of the field do right well without people doing a whole lot with them, because God watches over his creation. He said, if you look at that statement in verse 28, as it continues in verse 29, he says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, Solomon in all his glory was not dressed or decked out like one of these lilies in the field. He's making the point that God takes care of his creation. He takes care of the birds in the sky. He takes care of the lilies in the field. And don't we all know that when you look at God's creation, you can look at what people do to have pretty flowers and gardens and things like that, but sometimes just the natural things that grow in the world can have their beauty, because God's the one that created it all. What about Solomon? Do you know the name Solomon? Does everybody remember Solomon? Solomon was very well known in Bible days, and even after all these years, a lot of people know the name of Solomon. Solomon in all his glory. The way Jesus said that, did not even question it. It's stating this pretty much, that Solomon had what we would call human glory. Solomon had the glory. Solomon had the fame. Does anybody remember about the Queen of Sheba? The Queen of Sheba was in a different part of the world than Solomon. She heard about Solomon. She made a trip to meet with Solomon and just check things out for herself. She was so impressed. And do you remember what she said as she was concluding her visit, so to speak? She said, all that I heard about Solomon, the half was not told to me. And I'm just saying that to remind you of the glory that Solomon had. And Jesus said what? Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of the lilies in the field. In other words, again, Jesus was saying, I'll take care of you. You do what I want you to do and I'll take care of you. You'll have food to eat. You'll have something to drink. You'll have clothes to wear. That's what the Lord can do. All right, in verse number 30, it says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Pause right there. That's what happens sometimes, right? The grass may be green today. Next week it might be brown. It's not necessarily permanent, but it's said if God can clothe the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, how would we have felt if we had been there that day as Jesus gave this discourse and Jesus said, oh, you of little faith? Would that have made us feel good? Perhaps not. But sometimes maybe we need stronger faith. So Jesus is saying, God will take care of you, but you need to have faith too. Have faith. And so then we come back again to verse 31. You see, some of these verses almost overlap. I mean, not in any bad way, but there's an emphasis there. It says, therefore, take no thought. In other words, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Isn't that pretty much what verse 25 talked about? I think so. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? And then in verse 32, we have the parenthetical part, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And Gentiles were usually considered non-Jewish people, and in this case, perhaps those who did not have a faith in God. And so Jesus is pretty much saying, that's what people do. They worry about these things, but you don't need to do that. You don't need to worry about these things. Why? Look at the rest of verse 32. For your heavenly Father, oh, there's that same expression we had in verse 26. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. You mean God knows what your needs are? I hope everybody's tuned in. God knows what mine are. It doesn't matter if we're down in the dumps and feeling sad or not. God knows all about it. And so please remember, God knows what you need. He really does. And it doesn't help any to become ungrateful. Doesn't help any to become sad because you don't have everything you wish you had. It just doesn't help. Be thankful for the good. So far in this passage, just one little part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said what? Nobody can serve two masters. You're going to go one way or the other. And so he said, here's what you need to do. Don't worry about your food, your drink, your clothing, because God will take care of you. Don't be of little faith, was essentially what he was saying. Don't worry, have faith. But then he told them what to do in verse 33. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Haven't you heard that verse many times? Then it says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's my thinking. There might be a lot of people that have heard the verse, and they think of that part, all these things shall be added unto you, without maybe having it in context. What does it mean, all these things? Yes, God is a God who gives plentiful provision. He blesses in rich ways. But what does it mean? Within context here, he's saying, you put God first. You seek first the kingdom of God and the things that are right. His righteousness, and what you need for food and drink and clothing will be added or provided unto you. Aren't you glad God has provided for you so far? We have a lot to be thankful for. Then in verse 34 he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what that's sort of saying? It's saying, don't be worrying about tomorrow. Now, well, this is today, right? Don't be worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about its own things. And sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Does that help any? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow's troubles. This is today. All right. So Jesus is saying, I will take care of you. There is provision from the Lord. I think, to be honest about it, God has done more for us than we even realize. Amen. And he does it in a plentiful manner. Now let me ask you to locate the Old Testament book of 2 Kings. Another great story there. We're going to read 7 verses in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. The first 7 verses, please. This is the story of a widow woman. A widow who had 2 sons after her husband died that had needs. And God took care of the woman's needs back in the days of Elisha the prophet. The reason I'm sharing this story is because we're talking about plentiful provision. The details may vary in somebody's life from time to time, but the principle is our God really does provide for his people, and we need to guard against being unthankful. We need to have the right perspective. Well, these verses tell us in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Now the sons of the prophets were very likely those of either studying what we call for the ministry, or they were involved in the things of God, with Elisha the prophet being sort of at the forefront. And so one of them died, and so that left his wife a widow. And this woman came, and she said, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Well, that's a good testimony that he feared the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. By the way, folks, the Mosaic law authorized that creditors could claim the service of debtors until the year of Jubilee. And so this would make sense to her. This would make sense to the prophet. This would make sense to the ones involved right here. So she said what? That my husband feared the Lord, but we owe, and the creditor has come. And she didn't say he's come just to get payment. She said he's come to take my two sons to be his bond men. Well, that was part of their economy, you might say. And by the way, we have no evidence in that first verse of this passage that either her husband or the woman or the sons had been negligent or had done anything wrong, but they had a need. They had a need. That's the point of this story. Look at verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. So Elijah said, now don't you know, every time we see something like this where Elijah said or Elisha said, it's what God was doing through him. Okay? Elisha didn't have power to multiply anything, but his God did. All right? Elisha said, well, what do you think I can do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? I guess that's a good beginning point. What do you have here right now? And she basically said, I don't have anything but one jar of oil. Anybody here better off than that today? I'm guessing everybody here is better off than that. She said, Elisha, I don't have anything. It's just me and the boys and one jar of oil. He said, here's what you do. Isn't the Bible a wonderful book? Because you see, the way things are done sometimes, that most people would never come up with such an idea because it just wouldn't make sense. And so here's this prophet telling her who has nothing but one pot of oil saying, you go do something that I would think to many people would seem like ridiculous. So in verse 3, then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Abroad sounds to me like go all over the neighborhood and borrow containers, borrow vessels, borrow pots. He said, even empty vessels. Then he said, don't miss this, borrow not a few. Don't get just a few of them. Go around the neighborhood and you get a whole bunch of vessels and bring them back. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Have you ever thought about this story and you ever wondered, well, how much faith did it take for her to pour out of that bottle and then keep on pouring? It's hard to know, but the Bible tells us she poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full. How many vessels? We don't know, but remember, he said, don't borrow just a few. You go abroad and you borrow these empty vessels from your neighbors. And so she did that. I'm just guessing that there were many of them, but it shows how God can provide in a plentiful manner. And so she did this. She had the two boys there with her. And by the way, they weren't making a big show to the neighborhood, were they? No. They went in, closed the door to do what they needed to do. Verse 6 says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full. That's just amazing, isn't it? One jar of oil, and she poured into all these containers, however many there were, filled them all up. And she said to her son, one of the two, bring me another one. Bring ye yet a vessel. And he said unto her, Mama, there is no more. Well, that's sort of what he said. What did he say? He said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. You know what it sounds like to me? The oil stayed. Sounds to me like she had what she started out with, plus all that provision where God multiplied the oil. Amen. Then she came and told the man of God. You mean Elisha wasn't in the room with him? That's what it looks like to me. He told her what to do, and she did it. By the way, if she hadn't followed that advice, the outcome might have been different. But it's a good story. So she came and told the man of God, and he said, okay, here's what you do. Now, you might think, well, this is part of what was in her mind anyway. It might have been. But he said, here's what you do. You go sell the oil and pay your debt. That was first, right? What's the rest of the verse? And then you and your children live off the rest. I can't speak for you, but I just think that's a neat, tender story, how God was providing. Yes, Elisha was involved, but only as God's spokesman, only as the one God used to deal with the lady in her grief and in her time of difficulty. And so that's an amazing thing. So in the book of Matthew that we read from, Jesus said, you don't need to be worried about what you're going to eat or drink or wear. And remember, you can't serve two masters at one time, but you put God first, and He'll take care of what you need. And in this story, the woman had a very serious need, very serious, but in a unique and miraculous way, God provided for her. Somebody might wonder, well, how can I relate that to my life today? Well, we don't live then, we live now. But I would share this with you, and I think everybody here knows it, but let's not forget, our God never changes. We might not understand everything. We might not enjoy everything, but our God never changes. And so, He's good to us. Remember, we can never outlove Him. We can never outgive Him. He provided for His people in the past. He does it today. And He'll do so in the future. The book of Hebrews talks about He's provided some better thing for us. Well, of course, we can talk about heaven. But between here and heaven, there's a lot that happens. There's a lot that goes on. And I'm glad that God takes care of His people. Doesn't the hymn have good words where it says, God will take care of you? Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you. So for people of faith, from all ages of time, heaven is waiting. Are you ready? But in the meantime, don't forget, God wants us to be faithful Christians. So with the help of the Lord, don't get discouraged and feel like God has let us down, because He never lets us down. He's been good to us. And the more thankful we are, I believe the happier we will be. So I hope you're ready for heaven. I hope you're happy and trying to live for the Lord today. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, you need to put your faith in Him today. But how about every Christian? Are you grateful? I mean, we can't do it like one size fits all, so to speak. That it's an individual thing is what I'm getting at. Are you happy in the Lord? Are you grateful for what God has done for you? That's the way it needs to be, because with our God, there is always plentiful provision. Let's stand, please, and bow our heads for prayer.